I would like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's 2 Peter 3. And I want to read verses 10 through 12. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. This clearly shows us that we need to be prepared for the end of time. No question about it. And we need to be concerned about the kind or manner of people that we are in this life. Well, what exactly do we mean by this? Well, first of all, I would say that we need to be mindful of Christ's coming. That's what Peter points out here in our reading. Peter says, "Beloved, now I write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and earth which now exist are kept in store by that same word, reserved for fire until the end, or until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.'" One day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. This is to tell us that God does not reckon time the way we do. God set the earth and the planets around the earth and the solar system and so forth in order that it would regulate days and months and years and so forth. But he's not bound by these. He's not bound by these. And when man looks at God's promises and sees that he hasn't kept some of them yet, he says, "Well, the Lord is slack. He is just falling short of keeping his promises." No, he is not slack in keeping his promises. The fact that he hasn't called everything to a halt is testimony to his long suffering toward us. Why is he long suffering? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to look at God's long suffering, not as a promise that He made that Christ is going to come again that He isn't going to keep, but rather to look upon it as an opportunity to repent and be saved. But of other things we need to be mindful, I think we need to be mindful that there is no second chance. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the inspired writer says, "And as it is appointed for men once to die, or to die once, but after this, the judgment." This verse very plainly says that man dies once. He doesn't die once and then come back as a grasshopper. No. Or die once and come back as some great animal. No, no. He dies once and then the judgment. Which brings us to the next thing we need to be mindful of, and that is the day of judgment. We saw already what's going to happen in the day of judgment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What does that say? Well, it says we're all individually going to give an account on the last day. Individual accountability, whether Jew or Greek. As Romans 14:12 says, each one of us shall give account of himself to God. And this, there's no hope held out in this for someone else being accountable for us, or us being accountable for someone else. We can't do it. But we're also taught to be mindful of eternity. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, Christ looks to a time when some would go away into eternal life and some into eternal punishment. Well, the word eternal is very simply defined as without end or continued being, never, ever ending. We're going to spend some place, or spend eternity someplace. And it'll either be in eternal life, enjoying the presence of God the Father, or it will be in eternal punishment. Now, in connection with this, we also need to be mindful of the reward, the eternal reward that's assured to the faithful. Jesus is pictured as saying this in Matthew 25 and verse 34. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Notice, this eternal kingdom is pictured as being a prepared place for a prepared people. Not just anybody, but people who have prepared for it. John says in Revelation 14:13 that he heard a great voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." the righteous dead will be happy. And they will rest from their earthly labors. That's something to be mindful of. But on the other side of the coin is the punishment. And that punishment is eternal. And the interesting part of this is the punishment runs concurrently with the reward. We saw that Jesus used the same Greek words in Matthew 25 and verse 46 to describe the length of reward and the length of punishment. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Jesus said, "The unrighteous will be told to depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Paul tells us that punishment awaits all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now, after looking at things we need to be mindful of, we ask the question, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, I think probably the most obvious is we need to be faithful. This means that we are to be steadfast. Look with me, if you will, at Colossians 2 and 5. Paul says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Of course, remember Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord." But along with this, it also means regular attendance. Now, what do we read over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25? Well, the Hebrew writer encourages the people he writes to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. Now, I want you to know that manner implies practice. So, there were some who were practicing the forsaking of the assembling that he's referring to. But he says, "But exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, whenever I look at that context and I find out that the Holy Spirit connects these two ideas, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and willful sin, yeah, if we go on sinning willfully, what? There remains no more sacrifice for sins. Simple as that. Well, how could I go on sinning willfully? By forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Simple as that. But if you're faithful, that's just one of the things you do. Because you have that responsibility and that opportunity. That's two things. Responsibility to fulfill your part in the meeting or the assembly, and opportunity. Oh, great, here's an opportunity to go and worship God. Got to get myself together and go. I liked it when I read the little brief thing on Facebook this week. And I saw it, several people had posted it. But it said, worship is the reason why we miss other things. Think of that. Worship is the reason why we miss other things. It's worth considering. What manner of persons ought we to be? Well, I think we ought to be persistent in doing good. You know, Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. This means being faithful regardless of what the circumstances may be. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, we know that this has to do with the laying down of your life for Him, because John begins this with, do not fear any of those things that you are about to suffer. But certainly the principle tells us that that is important, that we be faithful unto death. What manner of persons ought we to be? Well, I think it goes without saying that we need to be holy. Now, holy simply means set apart or separate. And that's what God expects of us. Jesus intended that His church is holy. Look at Ephesians 5:25. We'll begin with verse 25. Read down through verse 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now listen to this last phrase. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus wants His church to be holy. Well, in order for the church to be holy, the members must be holy too. That's right. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, gird up, well, verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you as a revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There's no slack whatsoever for a Christian. It's His responsibility from day to day to be holy. Now, He doesn't mean holy at Sunday morning starting at 10 o'clock and then ending at 3. Or holy on Wednesday starting at 7:30 and ending at 8:30. No, that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about all the time. even as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. But being holy means keeping our bodies holy. In Romans 12, and the first two verses, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you see that? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy. That's our responsibility as a Christian. That's our responsibility as a Christian. But this also means that our lives are in keeping with what the gospel teaches. In Philippians, the first chapter, in verse 27, Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, that I may hear of your affairs, now listen, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our life. What manner of persons ought we to be? Well, I think we ought to be busy. And you say, oh, you don't know what busy is. I'm busy all the time. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. As Jesus, on the occasion when he had healed a man born blind, in John chapter 9, down to verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when no one can work. Now, day here is presented to us as opportunity. Night means loss of opportunity. Life presents to us opportunities which death brings to an end. Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, what are we supposed to busy ourselves doing? Well, this redeeming the time here includes teaching others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Just a minute now. He commanded them to go make disciples of all the nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I commanded you. So that's the same thing again. You get it? This is how the gospel is propagated. This is how the gospel is propagated. And Jesus makes the promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This kind of touches on a lesson we talked about not too long ago on using persuasion. Remember that? Paul did this in the synagogue at Ephesus In Acts 19 and verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And Paul's reason for persuading men was clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Look at it. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Knowing the terror of the Lord, that's a good reason for us to be busy. Good reason. Now, as the lesson draws to a close, and our time is going to be up pretty quick, we're going to ask you a question again, only we're going to talk about you. What manner of person are you? And you, I'm a pretty good old person. Good old boy, good old girl, Yeah, okay. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, are you living mindful of the fact that Christ will return? Now, I don't mean mindful of way off in the future sometime Christ will return. I mean, are you mindful of it now? Because it could happen any day. We don't have any guarantees. It's just the long suffering of God that keeps it from not happening. That's it. Now, with that idea in mind, are you prepared to enter eternity? If not, why not? If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're not ready. You're just plain not ready. Why not do so